been written, and the words have all been paid,
and you hear the Spirit calling through some most sacred hymn. In the valley of decision, tell me, friend, what will you do? This life has many choices, eternity has two.
This world and all its pleasures will soon be passed away. The final invitation could be going out today. You're standing at the crossroads, and the Savior's calling you. This life has many choices, eternity has two.
The straight and narrow way leads to life, and the broad way down below.
What would it profit to gain the world and lose your very soul? Tomorrow is uncertain, our days on earth are few. This life has many choices, eternity has two. This life has many choices, eternity has two.
How many of you watched this movie, Unplanned? All of you? We were at the theater, and it was full. Incredible. But there's something about the movie that is really interesting. It's how they manipulate the people, like helping those girls who leave find a job, or even protecting them. That's what I found very interesting. I remember 2 years ago, how many of you saw the guy, or those who were there, the guy driving the tractor that took down that sign, Planned Parenthood? He is the MyPillow.com fellow. And about 2 years ago, he was on Fox News explaining how he was involved in the last few scenes of a movie that was very secretively made, and he cannot talk about it. They were even afraid of people knowing they were making the movie, and they had to do it in total secret, that he wouldn't even tell on Fox News of the movie that he participated in, because it was supposed to be a secret until it came out, of course. And we were there. It's an interesting message. I remember years ago in a school watching a film called The Silent Scream. Anybody ever seen that one, The Silent Scream, where they rip a baby apart right in the womb? And this is what's going on. It's not about birth control or helping people. It's about destroying and killing the human race. And while I was watching it, God showed me something. During the tribulation, the animals and the birds will be aborting their young and killing them. And human beings will literally starve to death because what they reap, what they sow is what they reap. So it's going to be very interesting how these things are being exposed as we watch the real agenda behind the globalists who are trying to take down the borders, making a one world government system. And all these liberal news medias are all involved. If it wouldn't be for social media, people being able to talk to one another, the news media would have us at their mercy. And that's how what we would see here, and that's what most of us would believe. The stuff that is now coming out, I've known for years and years, and I was just waiting for it to come to fruition. And because there were some people who were telling the church or God's people of what the globalists had in mind, the Council of 13, the Illuminati, the Bilderbergers, and these guys. They're all trying to bring in a one-world government, doing the work of Satan, but God rules the hearts of the kings. Regardless who is in charge, he'll twist and turn them the way he wants them to go, and that's it. And for us, we need to keep preaching the gospel because we're fast running out of time. So the question is, what is the gospel? Today, I'm going to have a message on, maybe we should call it, the religion breaker. Hallelujah. So before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, for the word of God, for our guide that you left us. We cannot make a mistake, O God, if we listen to your spirit and follow your word. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was at the farmer's market in St. Malo yesterday, and a guy came up to me who I've known for years, which I perceived as a very religious Mennonite. And he asked me where the washroom was, and I told him, well, it is in the beer parlor, but you may be too religious to go in there, so I don't know if I can help you. And he said, thank you, and left. And later on, he came up to me and says, I am not religious. I am a Christian. His demeanor was religious, and I totally misjudged him. And I said, so it is the Lord that got you into the kingdom and not yourself. And he said, yes, sir, brother. I said, that's good. Instantly, my outlook and my way of viewing him changed completely. But maybe God has a plan for his style. You know, there are a lot of religious people who only listen to religious-looking people in many cases. And then I had a guy come up to me, and we were having fun joking about the farmer's market, and you know how, for those of you who know me, I lead him on and twist him and turn him and try to get him into a place where they'll ask questions. Then all of a sudden he said, what do you do for a living? And I figured, here it comes. And I said, I'm a pastor. And he said, what? I said, I'm a preacher. Oh, we got to have these two and have a good day. And he left. Sorry, I lost my, I didn't get a chance. But he couldn't figure me out. And that's my plan. You've got to see me as the natural Dave, not as some high-up pastor who is supposed to act in a certain way. I want to speak to people face-to-face and not looking down. God has a work for us. We have to understand that they need Jesus. And today I want to teach on an interesting message. How many of you have ever read the story in Acts chapter 10? It's about Corny and Pete. Who do you know those guys? Simon Peter and Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10, in verse 1 to 3, it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. We have to remember, those of us who have religious ideas, this is a guy who made a living, what? Keeping the law and killing people. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. So we'll just call him Corny for short. So there's this devout man living for God and praying, giving money to the poor. We have to remember his job description. He was of the Italian band, and anybody who has any knowledge of Roman history, there that would be about the in the American army, he would be a SEAL, a Navy SEAL, the top in the army, trained to kill and out there to make sure that the law was kept. And he was a captain of the Navy SEALs of that time, and nobody said no to him. And this is who he was, and he was praying to God. And the Bible says he was a devout man, and he gave a lot of money to the poor. So God all of a sudden sends an angel, and here's what the angel said in chapter 4, in verse 4. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for memorial before God. This is very, very interesting. God bragging on a person. Your almsgiving, your money giving has gotten to my attention. How many of us can say that? Your prayers have gotten really my attention. It's a memorial before me. The guy wasn't even a Christian, and God sent an angel to congratulate him. Hey, Corny, you're one good dude. And boy, do we need more of you like that. But, there's the word but. But he says in Acts chapter 10, verse 5, now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he will tell you what thy ought is to do. I just love this story. Here's God bragging on a person who's praying, giving alms, giving money, and doing all the religious things just to the T, to the point where God sends a congratulation. But here is what you have to do. You have to call for Simon Peter, and he will tell you what you have to do. Now, what is the secret? What on earth did Simon Peter have for a message that the angel didn't have? Now, Cornelius could have been a very, let's say, he could have been, hey, why do I need somebody else's instruction? He could have become proud. God has just bragged on my good deeds that I'm doing. Why do I need somebody else's advice? But Cornelius was a very humble man. He was not proud at all. And he did send for Simon Peter. And I tell you, here is where the problem comes in. With me looking at it in a simple way And the way Simon Peter explained it, he will tell you what you have to do. Have you ever listened to people who called themselves Christians? Oh, we have to be obedient to God. Oh, we have to follow the Gospels. Oh, we have to do this and we have to do that. They want to follow the teachings of Jesus. Go on the internet and you'll find out how completely confused the Christian world is. I want to give you a few examples. What does it mean by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? We remember the story of Paul and Silas who were in jail, and they were singing hymns unto God, and there was an earthquake. And then the jailer, he comes in and says, "What must I do to be saved?" And the Apostle Paul gives him a very interesting little statement. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now that covers a lot of ground there. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I want to give you a few examples. The Bible teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ taught this. If you look upon a woman with lust, you committed adultery already, and you are in danger of hellfire. If you hate your brother, it's just like killing him. So you are in danger of hellfire. So Jesus is teaching that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. He's teaching those things. I got into an interesting discussion with a friend of mine years ago, and he gave me those scriptures here. Here is what we got to do. And I said, "Lord God, help. I need help here. This guy does not understand that the law that Jesus is teaching is out of his reach if he doesn't do it perfectly." And God gave me a very interesting story to tell him, which is found in the Gospels. It's about the story of how many of you knew that a Roman soldier, when he would be walking along and he had his equipment, there was a Roman law that you had to carry his equipment for him for 1 mile. But what did Jesus teach the Pharisees and the disciples and the rest of the people? When you see a Roman soldier walking, you do not just carry his equipment for 1 mile, you carry it for 2 miles and love him at the same time. Now, was that possible for a Jew to do that? The Jew wanted to do one thing, and that is to stick a knife into the Roman soldier's ribcage. That was his idea of loving a Roman soldier. And they listened to Jesus and wondered if Jesus was off his rocker. I carry a Roman soldier's stuff for 2 miles? I don't even want to carry it 2 feet. What are you talking about? Jesus was telling those people to follow the laws of God is impossible if you want to enter into the kingdom of God that way. So here is what Cornelius is being told. Send for Simon Peter, and he will tell you what thou oughtest to do. And then Simon Peter came. And I will paraphrase it a little bit in Acts chapter 10 in verse 42. And Simon Peter is telling Cornelius, put it up there and I'll read it. Chapter 10, verse 42 and 43. Jesus commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is he that which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive the remission of sins. Again, it's telling us to believe in what Jesus was preaching. Believe in Jesus. Again, you're kind of stuck. I have to believe in Jesus, and the teachings of Jesus are very, very to the point. You can't not make a mistake. You gotta follow him to the T. Isaiah chapter 42 in verse 1. The Lord God tells us, "Behold my servant, who I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." I studied the scripture, and there's a different versions of the Bible say, justice he will bring to the Gentiles. What is justice? Justice is a very interesting word, but judgment can be put in there too. He will bring judgment. He will judge sin for the people. But here is where it comes in John chapter 6 and verse 28. The Pharisees again were arguing. They said unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." Again, it kind of leaves you a little in the dark. Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. What on earth is it talking about here? But we're going to get to the final scripture that puts light on the whole subject. And let me tell you, it's as clear as daylight. 1 John chapter 2 in verse 1 and 2. Put it up for me there. And we will bring the light into this whole situation. What does it mean to believe on Jesus? "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." The word propitiation, what on earth does that mean? He is the atoning sacrifice that took away our sin. This is what it means to believe in Jesus. Never mind carrying a soldier's weapons with him for 2 miles. Never mind keeping your mind to the point where you can't look or even think. Even though that's a good idea to train it, do it, train your mind. But trying to walk the straight and narrow, to attain salvation through that, forget about it. You're a loser and a failure. But here we have Jesus, the one whom God raised up. "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father." Who is that advocate? It is Jesus Christ the righteous. There is one mediator between man and God, and his name is Jesus. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins and not for ours only. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that Cornelius was a very good, devout, religious person. He prayed to God always. He gave his money to the poor. He was as religious as you could be. But it wasn't good enough. The angel of the Lord told him, "Go tell and ask for Peter, and he will tell you what you have to do." And when Simon Peter came, it tells us in many words, he explained to them what Jesus was, and all of those people were there, if you read the story, believed even before they proclaimed that they believed. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they started rejoicing and speaking in other tongues. So here it is. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin. His flesh was the object that took our sin upon itself. And he was crucified 2,000 years ago. The wrath of God was poured out upon him, all for us. And for any person who rejects this, for any person who makes it as nothing, there is a horrible waiting of terrible judgment that will come upon him. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews, fiery indignation from God will come upon that person who rejects this incredible God, who offers the freedom of salvation, the free gift of salvation that he bought and paid for. This is why when I look at people who try religiously to somehow bring offerings to God, it's like spitting God in the face and telling him, your sacrifice isn't good enough. I have to do it myself. Can you imagine the horrors that these people will have to face? Yes, when you look at the whole picture, you can see how damning religion truly is. It is the one thing that Satan uses to bring more people into hell than worldliness ever did. So if you have friends, neighbors, brothers, and sisters, try to explain to them the seriousness of the situation. Because those who reject this God, they will have to spend their eternity in the eternal lake of fire, where the Bible teaches us the smoke of their torment will arise forever and ever. And they're not there because of the sins that they committed. They're there because they rejected the free gift of eternal life. This is why they're there. Because from a youth on, you are branded by God as a sinner. Even before you committed one sin, you were in the human race. And the human race is dead in trespasses and sin. You do not sin. You're not a sinner because you sin. Think of that. You're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. It's your nature. And what is in your nature will come out. And God has found a way before the foundations of the world to destroy the power of sin by sending his only begotten Son on the cross to take this penalty upon himself, and then gives us the free gift of eternal life. For the Bible teaches us, he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So open your heart to that and become a blessing to yourself. Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my reservations for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. I'm listening for the trumpet to sound most any time, and a crown of life that's waiting, thank God, will soon be mine. I've got my invitation through a place called Calvary. By the precious blood of Jesus, the trip's been paid for me. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I made my reservation
for mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. The captain of the vessel is calling, get on board. The destination's heaven, safe on that crystal shore, where we'll meet again our Savior and our loved ones who have gone. There to live for all eternity, thank God we're going home. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my reservations for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. I may not know the moment, or I may not know the day,